Woodrow Wilson used war to achieve his social ends. FDR used economic depression and war. JFK used the threat of war and Soviet domination. Johnson's crisis mechanism came in the form of spiritual anguish and alienation, and he exploited it to the hilt. When Johnson picked up the fallen flag of liberalism, he did so with a succinct, almost biblical phrase, "Let us continue." But continue what? Surely not mere whiz kid wonkery or touch football games at Hyannisport. Johnson was tasked with building the Church of Liberalism on the rock of Kennedy's memory, only he needed to do so in the psychological buzz phrases of meaning and healing. He cast himself, or allowed himself to be cast, as the secular St. Paul to the fallen liberal messiah. LBJ's great society would be the church built upon the imagined word of Camelot. On May 22, 1964, Johnson offered his first description of the Great Society. The Great Society rests on abundance and liberty for all. It demands an end of poverty and racial injustice to which we are totally committed in our time. But that was just the beginning. The Great Society is a place where every child can find knowledge to enrich his mind and to enlarge his talents. It's a place where leisure is a welcome chance to build and reflect, not a feared cause of boredom and restlessness. It's a place where the city of man serves not only the needs of the body and the demands of commerce, but the desire for beauty and the hunger for community. It was an ambitious project, to put it mildly. In the Great Society, all wants would be fulfilled, all needs satisfied. No good thing would come at the cost of another good thing. The state would foster, nurture, and guarantee every legitimate happiness. Even leisure would be maximized so that every citizen would find meaning in life. Johnson conceded that such a subsidized nirvana couldn't materialize overnight. It would require the single-minded loyalty and effort of every American citizen and the talents of a new wave of experts. "I do not pretend that we have the full answer to those problems," he admitted, "but I do promise this. We're going to assemble the best thought and the broadest knowledge from all over the world to find those answers for America." Johnson established some 15 committees to answer the question, "What is the Great Society?" The Renaissance and liberal ambition transpired even as America's intrinsic anti-statist antibodies were reaching a critical mass. In 1955, National Review was born, giving an intellectual home to a heterodox collection of thinkers who would form modern conservatism. It's revealing that while William F. Buckley had always been a classical liberal and Catholic traditionalist, nearly all of the intellectual co-founders of National Review were former socialists and communists who'd soured on the God that failed.